Turn with me this morning to Colossians chapter 4. We'll continue on. We're on Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. The Apostle Paul says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards them that are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the scripture. We thank you that you've written it directly to us and we can use it in our lives. We just thank you for what your son did on the cross of Calvary so many years ago. And if we put our faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection for our sins, Lord, we know we have eternal life. And we just thank you for that. We thank you for the many blessings. We thank you for all that have come out this morning. We just pray that we can bless and encourage them. And we just pray that you'll speak through me this morning and make what I say clear and understandable, Lord. And we just thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we've been going through Colossians, we learned in Colossians chapter 3 that he describes the basics of Christian living. And then he moves on and he describes the Christian's apparel. And then at the end of Colossians chapter 3, he discusses guidelines to govern Christian families. And we discussed that last week. And here on verse 2 through 4 in chapter 4, we find three important things about prayer. The first thing he says is to continue in prayer. Paul talks about prayer many times through Scripture. You know, he says, pray without ceasing. You know, and when we think about it, does that mean I sit there and pray all the time? I pray 24/7. I pray as I'm driving. I pray as I'm going. You know, but he means never stop the practice of prayer. He wants us to create a habit of prayer. You know, this week I found online there's a, I'm sure you guys have always heard of shock therapy. But if you ever want to break a bad habit, I found this device you put on your wrist. And every time you bite your nails, in my case, you push the button and it zaps you. I thought it would be a great idea for prayer. Anytime we need to pray, we just push it and our mind will instantly think about prayer. You know, it needs to become a habit. It needs to become part of our everyday life. In 1 Samuel, he says, "Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." In Psalms, he says, "Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry out loud, and he shall hear my voice. Seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments." Luke 18, "Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart." Acts chapter 6, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of word." Romans 12:12, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer." You know, so I was trying to say, what does that mean? How do we get this habit? How do we create this? And you know, I did a little research, and in the latest research, people in the U.S. check their Facebook, Twitter, and other social media accounts a staggering 17 times a day. Every time you log onto that computer, every time you check Facebook, every time you check Twitter, how about you say a prayer? How about you think about the Lord? Think about eternal things. Quit worrying about who's going to the grocery store, who's doing this, who's doing that. And that's what he means when he says, pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean you never stop praying, but it becomes a habit. It becomes part of your everyday life. It becomes like Facebook. We'll call it the Lord book. How about we get involved? We are so prone to only pray when we're in trouble. When we're ill or when we find some obstacle, then we begin to pray. Otherwise, we are so prone to forget to pray. You know, we get stuck in a jam and we say, "Lord, get me out of this situation." And I've done it so many times. I get myself into a predicament that I brought onto myself. And I say, "Lord, if you'll get me out of this situation, I'll never do it again." Which he knows right then and there, it's a lie. You're going to go right back to the same thing. But if we were in prayer, if we were in the constant word of God, we wouldn't be in that predicament. We wouldn't be in that situation. We wouldn't be in that problem. Just a couple of examples as I was thinking is Daniel and the lion's den. You know, when the world is trying to take prayer out of our everyday life right now. But did it stop Daniel? Daniel still stopped and prayed. And Daniel could have shut up his house. He could have hid in the closet and the Lord would have still heard him. But he did the same thing he did every day. He opened up the windows, opened up the blinds, and prayed to the Almighty God. And I pray no matter what we get ourselves in, no matter what the world comes to, no matter what America goes to, that we will constantly open up those blinds and pray to the Almighty God. You can see here in Colossians 1:9, the Apostle Paul, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You know, so many times we sit there and question, what does God want from us? What does God want us to do? But if we get into the Word of God and if we pray, we will always know. And the Apostle Paul prays for them that they will desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and spiritual understanding. We can pray that for us. Back to verse 2, chapter 4. The next thing he says, continue in prayer and watch in the same. Stay awake. Stay alert. Our prayers should always be accompanied by our awareness of people's true needs. As we observe those to whom we would witness, we can pray more effectively. When we see what people need in their lives, when we see the struggles they're going through, pray for that situation. And many times we see, you know, somebody will come to you and tell you their problem or tell you somebody has an illness, and you say, I'll pray for you. But you never get around to doing it. How about we be alert and be awake and pray for that situation? Be alert and be awake. And lastly, he says, watch in the same with thanksgiving. Turn over with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I think there's many times in life that we don't know, we feel like we're at the valley. We feel like we're going through problems. We feel like God's not there and we don't know what to pray for. But first off, he says, pray for everything. And secondly, he says, pray with thanksgiving. And many times you say, well, I have nothing to be thankful for. I'm broke. I can't pay my bills. I'm struggling with life. I have a hard time. My parents are divorced. This is happening in my life. Everything's going wrong. I have nothing to be thankful for. But when we're in prayer and when we're in the Word of God, we can realize we have so many things to be thankful for. We have the forgiveness of our sins. If you have put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can be thankful for the forgiveness of our sins. You can be thankful for the redemption through his blood. You can be thankful for eternal inheritance. That one day we will be seated in the heavenlies with him, physically there, to have everlasting life. We can be thankful today that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. No matter what we do, if you have put your faith and trust in him, there is a seal on you that even Satan himself cannot take. How thankful can we be? And when we don't know what to pray, pray for these thanksgivings and it'll start rolling. There is nothing in this life that can rock our boat to make us not be thankful. And then he goes on to verse 3, praying also for us. The Apostle Paul's praying for them, and he says, pray for us as well. Turn over with me to Romans chapter 15, verse 30. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. As the Apostle Paul is going on these journeys, as the Apostle Paul is taking the mystery program to the world, he says, pray for me. that I can get this out there. Pray for me that I can get the gospel spread to the world. Turn over with me to 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Pray for us. Pray for us. Again, I challenge you today to pray for me. Pray for the pastor of Grace Bible Church. Pray that we're getting the gospel out there. Pray that we are reaching a lost world. And you can go on in verse 3 here. He says, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance. You know, to me, as I picture the Apostle Paul, I picture this man that doesn't care what the world thinks. He goes out there and he preaches each and every day and he has no feelings. But if you look at his life and how often he says, I pray for boldness. I pray for boldness that I can preach the word of God. I pray for boldness that I can make it make known. I pray for boldness. He says it over and over again. Praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. Turn over with me to Galatians chapter 1, verse 12. The Apostle Paul wants to make known the mystery of Christ. What is the mystery of Christ? Galatians chapter 1, verse 12, it says, let's start with verse 10. For do I now seek the favor of men or of God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The word mystery means a secret. The Apostle Paul received a secret message. It was revealed to him and only to him. He was not taught by other men this message. It was given to the Apostle Paul to go to the Gentiles. So what is the mystery? Again, turn over with me to Acts chapter 3, verse 21. If you want to get Acts chapter 3, verse 21, and then Romans 16. Acts chapter 3, verse 21, it says, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. So there was a prophet. There was a prophet, which means it was foretold. There was a prophecy program that was foretold before the world began. And turn over with me to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. The Apostle Paul has his gospel. He's not arrogant. He's not prideful. He's not bragging about himself. The word of God is inspired by the Holy Spirit, by the Lord Jesus Christ, so he wrote it for a reason. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. The Apostle Paul received a message that was kept secret since the world began. And in Acts chapter 3, we saw that there was prophecy that was foretold. So we have two different programs, and we're learning on Wednesday night. We have a gentleman named Eric. He's teaching on Wednesday night. But from Genesis 1:1, the Lord Jesus Christ created the heaven, and he created the earth. And there's two programs. One, there's an earthly program, and there's a heavenly program. Everything that was prophesied had to do with the earthly program. It has to do with the setting up of the kingdom on earth, and everything with the Apostle Paul that was given to him has to do with a secret that was kept before the world began and has to do with the heavenlies. Turn over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We need to be ministers of Christ, stewards of the mysteries of God. Turn over with me to Ephesians chapter 3. We read it in our scripture reading, but turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. In verse 2, the Apostle Paul says, if you have heard of the dispensation of God, which is given me towards you. It was given to the Apostle Paul. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Again, it's a secret only revealed to the Apostle Paul. Jump down to verse 7. Of which I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul wants all men to see. Verse 9, it needs to be our motto, it needs to be our drive, it needs to be everything about us, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. That is our job, that is our calling. So again, you say, what is the mystery? What does it mean? What is going on? Just to run through a couple real quick. Again, we've talked about it time and time again, but the mystery has to do with Jew and Gentile being one. Before the nation of Israel was a chosen nation, for a Gentile to be saved, they had to become a proselyte. They had to become a part of the nation of Israel. And that's no longer here. Jew and Gentile are now one. We all go to the cross of Calvary through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, the body of Christ. You cannot find the body of Christ mentioned anywhere else except in Paul's epistles. That is a mystery. That's a secret that was revealed only to the Apostle Paul. Spiritual blessings. Everything with the nation of Israel has to do with earthly blessings. Everything that has to do with the body of Christ has to do with heavenly blessings. Our eternal inheritance. You know, all the blessings in the heavenlies. We're already seated in the heavenlies. The age of grace. The rapture is a mystery. The rapture is nowhere else mentioned except in the Pauline epistles. And in 1 Corinthians it says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, or at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That is a mystery. The rapture is a mystery. Last, the death, burial, and resurrection for salvation was a mystery. The death, burial, and resurrection was prophesied. It was foretold, absolutely. But it was never foretold that it would be a part of his salvation plan. Turn with me back to Luke chapter 22. We can read that the 12 never understood it. The 12 never believed it. The 12 did not know what was going on. In Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 34. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan, how I have desired to have you, that you may sift you as wheat. 18. Sorry, guys. Luke 18. I knew I missed something up. Luke chapter 18, verses 31. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto him, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all the things that are written by the prophets. Again, this was foretold. It was foretold that the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles. He shall be mocked and spitefully treated and spit on. And they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. I don't know what else this can be besides the death, burial, and resurrection of my Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. So does Peter put his faith and trust in that? Does Peter say, yes, Lord, I believe it? Verse 34, and they understood none of these things, and this saying was hidden from them, neither knew the things which were spoken. You can go back to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 and 22. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Peter told him it's not going to happen. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Almighty God, is telling him that he's going to go to the cross of Calvary, that he's going to die on the cross, that he's going to raise again the third day. And Peter says, it's not going to happen. That's what Peter says. But because it was hidden, but because it was not part of the plan back then. It was part of his ultimate plan. It was a part of the eternal plan, but it was not part of the plan. You have to understand the difference between prophecy and mystery if you want to understand the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We have to divide between what is prophecy and what is mystery. Otherwise, it becomes a big jumble up mess. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8, and some people say, well, why wasn't a plan all along? Why wasn't it a plan from the beginning of the world? And it was. Jesus Christ knew from day one that he would die on the cross, that he would be raised, and that was the salvation plan. But the salvation plan was only revealed to the Apostle Paul. And so many people say, well, why didn't the 12 disciples know this? Why didn't the 12 disciples believe this? If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8, starting with verse 7, But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If from day one the Lord Jesus Christ said, if God the Father said Jesus is going to come to the earth, die on the cross of Calvary for our sins, be raised again the third day, and this is our salvation plan, they would not have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why it had to be a mystery. It had to be a secret that was revealed only to the Apostle Paul. Turn back with me to Colossians. Praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. We see that the Apostle Paul is in jail at this time. We see that he's in bonds, but he doesn't care. He's still praying that his message will get out there. He's still praying that he can, in verse 4 it says, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. He wants to make it clear for people. He wants to make it understandable. I challenge each and every one of you to pray for me that I can make the gospel clear, that I can make the mystery of the age of grace clear so people can understand it. I pray that each and every one of us will pray for the growth of Grace Bible Church. And it's not necessarily has to be a physical growth. It can be a spiritual growth. And as that spiritual growth comes in, it's going to bring others alongside you. It's going to bring others into the church as well. And I pray that each and every one of us will have the boldness to stand up for what we believe in. Stand up for what we believe. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. Like I said earlier, the Apostle Paul prayed time and time again. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Let's show that boldness. Let's pray for that boldness. How about Grace Bible Church prays for that boldness and we go out in the world and show them what that boldness is? Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Again, he's praying. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. We need to pray that. The Apostle Paul is no longer around. The Apostle Paul is not here to share the gospel, to go on missionary journeys, to do the job that he did in his time. It is now time for us to pray for ourselves that we have the boldness to share the gospel, to share the mystery of the gospel. Turn over with me to Romans chapter 1. You know, in 4:4 he says that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. In Romans chapter 1 verses 14 he says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I pray that all of us here, we can make it make sense, make it make clear. It's a simple message. It's a simple gospel message. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. If you put your faith and trust in that and in that alone, you can have eternal life. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. You can't change it. You can't tweak it. That is what the Word of God says. Verse 5, it says, walk in wisdom to them that are outside, redeeming the time. You know, somebody once said that our talk talks, that our walk talks, but our walk talks louder than our talk talks. Say that fast 5 times. Basically meaning actions speak louder than words. What we are speaks so loud that people cannot hear what we speak. In 1 Thessalonians, it says that you may walk properly towards those who are outside, that you may lack nothing. This is our testimony to those who do not know Christ. It is our job to be a light. It is our job to be a testimony to those who are outside, outside the body of Christ, those who do not put their faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection. It is our job to walk in wisdom towards them, to show them the light. In 1 Timothy, it says, moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside. Turn over with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Redeeming the time. We have to redeem the time. Ephesians chapter 5, 15 through 17, it says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The Apostle Paul, during his time, said the days are evil. We have to redeem the time. We have to redeem the time means seize the opportunity. Buy up an opportunity. We have to take advantage of every time we have a chance to share the gospel. Every opportunity. There's so many times in life we miss out because either we start to think or we get scared or we're just not praying enough. If we're in prayer about it, if we pray for the boldness, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to show us when to share the gospel. And then in 4:6 it says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. I'm telling you, arguments will most likely never win a soul to the Lord. In Proverbs it says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. And the older I get, the more I realize, doesn't mean you have to agree with them, but listen to them. Listen to them, their concerns. Listen to their... And then go back to the Word of God and say, this is what the Word of God says. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ, the Almighty God, says. And when you do it without arguing, and when you do it without arguing, you can get so much more across. Turn over with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. He says to do it with meekness, gentleness, kindness, and fear. You know, so many times we get in our head that I'm going to offend somebody. I'm going to hurt their feelings. I'm going to, they're not going to like me after this. How about we turn it around and we have the fear of the Lord in us, and we say, I'm more scared of this person losing their life to an eternal lake and fire. I have a fear of the Lord. I have a respect for the Lord that I'm going to tell this person no matter what happens. And if you do it with a gentleness and a kindness and a true caring heart, whether they accept it or not, you're probably not going to lose a friendship over it anyways because of the way you handle it. Be fearful of the Lord and share the gospel. Tell others of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in conclusion, pray, pray, pray. I challenge each and every person here to pray as much as they check Facebook. When you check Facebook, say a prayer. Pray for me to lead the church and to be able to explain the Word of God in a way to understand. Pray for you all, for yourself, to have boldness to witness and share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, as 1 Peter says, pray that we will always have an answer. If you're scared to share the gospel because you don't have the answers, get in the Word of God and study. Come to church on Wednesday night and study the Word of God. Dig deeper into the Word of God and always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in you, so others can have that same hope that we have. We have the hope that one day, no matter what happens on this earth, no matter what struggles we go through, No matter the predicaments we put ourselves into, we will spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I just pray that Grace Bible Church and the congregation and everybody here will have a boldness to go out in the world, to shine the light. So many people are trying to take prayer out of everything, prayer out of schools, prayer out of America. And I pray that each and every one of us will stand up and say, we have a fear of the Lord. We have a respect for the Lord. And because of that, we will not turn down. We will not turn our backs and run away. We just pray that each and every one of us will have a boldness to share the gospel, to explain to a lost and dying world what your Son did on the cross of Calvary. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.